Hello and welcome back to Inside Quotes, the show where my brother and I rewatch, review, and relive the staples of our childhood. This is episode 99, and I am your host, Jeremy, and with me today is my older brother, Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome back to the show for the 99th time.
99th. Quack, quack, everybody. It's good to be back on the show. Jeremy, what's your favorite animal?
Not an orangutan. It's definitely a kangaroo.
Not even a little orangutan?
Not a little bit. I don't deal with monkey business.
Here's a question for you. Today we're talking about Dunstan Checks In. Spoiler okay. Alert.
Good movie.
Is Dunstan the same orangutan that was in the Tang commercials of the 90s and early 2000s? Do you remember those?
Bro, I don't think I've ever seen that.
You've never seen them?
I don't think so.
One of those moments where I realize how much older I am than Jeremy. It was a classic. There was like
Tang is the orange drink.
Yeah, it's like the powder drink you mix in and stirred up. I mean, it was iconic. It was like, I don't know. It was like the Gushers commercials or like Reese's Puff cereal. Like it was on all the time when we were watching like, I don't know, Disney cartoons on Saturday or something.
It's not ringing a bell.
Is it a ring in a tail?
It's not a ring in a tang. It's not ring a tang. Tang. That's why there's an orangutan.
Tang.
That makes so much sense.
See, when I worked at Busch Gardens, I'm pretty sure they said to pronounce it orangutan.
Yes, it is orangutan.
That's how I've been saying it on the podcast thus far. But
everyone calls it orangutan because of the branding.
Right, and he was the mascot.
That makes sense. Makes sense.
So I'm just curious if it was the same guy. I don't know.
No. Well, my favorite animal is a kangaroo.
It was Samson. R.I.P.
Rip Samson.
So, Jeremy, we're talking about Dunstan Checks In today. Why did you want to talk about this movie?
Jonathan, I believe that this movie is a staple of my childhood and our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say staple, I do mean staple of our childhood. Also, it's a monkey movie. Monkey movies are fun.
Sure.
They're pretty much humans.
Top 15 monkey movies. Go.
Top 15 monkey movies. Okay. Number 15, Space Chimps 2.
Okay. I didn't see that one. I saw the original.
I don't think I saw it either. I feel like I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel for monkey movies.
Top 15 is a lot.
Top 15 is a lot. 14, Space Chimps 1.
Okay.
13.
How many MVP, MXP, MVP 2? There's a trilogy of those.
Would you count Night of the Museum as a monkey movie?
Mm.
I don't know.
No, because I didn't like the monkey in that. It was the bit got old. Kind of like the top 15 bit.
Okay. Number 11. But I would say Dunstan Checks In is the number one monkey movie.
Okay.
In my book.
Okay.
Number 2 would be MXP, probably. The snowboarding monkey movie.
Ooh. Would you put that above, bullet behind this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Okay. I agree. We've got a lot of great memories with MXP, though. For sure.
What other monkey movies are there? That's got to be a niche list on Letterboxd.
Here's one that I've seen that probably not a lot of people have seen. It was a movie called Ed. And it was Joey from Friends was like a baseball player.
Huh.
And I don't remember anything about this movie. Other than, like, I guess the monkey joined the team and played professional baseball with Joey.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where the monkey gets, like locked inside the back of, like a box truck, like a freezer truck with, like, a bunch of frozen bananas in there. And he gets stuck in there. And they're, like, trying to find him.
Uh-huh.
And he's, like, obviously really cold by the time they find him.
Yeah.
Like, everyone thought he was going to die or something.
Spymate?
I didn't see that one.
I'm looking it up, and it is probably the worst art I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bad Photoshop job. Anyways.
I mean, but when you get into gorillas, that opens up some possibilities. You got, like, Baby's Day Out.
Planet of the Apes, but that's, like, a different type thing.
Yeah. Here's a movie I don't think I ever saw, but I remember seeing
Curious George movie. Does that count?
Well, it's animated. It's fine. It counts.
Okay.
There was a movie called Born to be Wild. Oh, which I don't remember if I've seen it or if I saw it like one time. I just remember seeing the trailer before one movie that we had growing up. I remember seeing that a lot. It's like him and a gorilla on a road trip. That's the vibe I got from the trailer.
Okay.
That was enough.
King Kong.
King Kong. I mean, there's got to be another one.
Tarzan.
Tarzan. A lot of apes in that
That's
one.
That's a good monkey movie.
Here's a good one. The Barefoot Executive.
I've never seen that.
You've seen it.
Have I?
Okay, this was the one where it's an old Disney movie, like young Kurt Russell. He's like he works at like a TV station and he finds this monkey that like knows. I loved this movie as a kid. I don't know if you remember it. But like the monkey would like watch the test like pilots for new TV shows, and he could tell like which ones were going to be a hit and which ones were duds. And so they kept like screening the new shows to the monkey. And the kid that like Kurt Russell was like taking the credit for it, and he like goes from like the bottom of the company to like the head of the studio or something like that. It's like a 70s movie or something.
Interesting.
I liked it. Summer of the Jungle.
Summer of the Monkeys. Dude, there's a lot of monkey movies.
I moved over to Letterboxd and I was looking at the list there. Okay, not a movie, but Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp.
Bro, that's weird.
Okay. You're not going to believe this, Jeremy. You are not going to believe this.
All right.
Okay.
I already don't believe it.
This monkey movies list I'm looking at on Letterboxd. It's got all the classics, all the ones we've been mentioning here. At the bottom, it says, Being John Malkovich.
Wait, where? Which monkey list?
I don't know. I just typed in monkey movies on Letterboxd and started looking through lists. Should we call Kyle to see if there's a monkey in Being John Malkovich and how it ranks on his monkey movies?
Oh, no.
Maybe another time. Monkey Trouble. I don't think I've seen this one, but I recognize this
poster. It looks
poster.
Fun. Yeah, I do recognize that poster.
Looks like it'd be up my alley.
White Pongo from 1945. Pongo Pygmaeus. There's a lot of monkey movies from a long time ago. Yeah, but none of these hold a candle to Dunstan Checks In.
I'd say so. It's the pinnacle.
I mean, there's a trilogy, like the MXP, or MVP, MVP 2, and then MXP. It's the trilogy of a chimpanzee skateboarding, playing ice hockey, and snowboarding. I mean, what else? It's the Air Bud, but for monkeys and cooler sports.
I mean, Dunstan is pretty athletic, though, if you think about it. I mean, I guess he was in the... What is the backstory for Dunstan? Like, did they perform in the circus or something?
I think he was a circus performer.
Okay. That's
I guess.
That's what I always took from it. But then I also feel like...
Or a Hollywood...
Monkey. Yeah. Lord Rutledge, that's the guy's name. I don't get the appearance of him to be like, oh, he's like a circus performer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He seems like the more actor type, high society type, but maybe he's just playing that role.
Possibly.
He's a scam artist.
Yeah, he's a carny. Jonathan, explain to me what the premise of Dunstan Checks In, because we've just been... spouting off random facts.
Just monkey movies.
Out of our phone. Just monkey movies and stuff.
Well, the premise of the movie is Charlie from the Santa Claus has a new dad. George from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Not Tim Allen.
Yep.
A guy from a different sitcom in the 90s. So him and his brother. What is his actual name here? Okay.
Kyle.
So we've got Kyle. That's Eric Lloyd. That's Charlie from Santa Claus. And then his brother...
Brian.
Okay. Anyway, they live with their dad in a hotel. His dad is the manager of a nice five-star hotel.
Hmm.
And then a mysterious guest checks in, Lord Rutledge. And he brings a monkey with him, apparently.
Yep.
Lord Rutledge is just there trying to scam all the guests in the hotel and steal their jewelry and other priceless items.
Yes.
And the kid befriends Dunstan and they go on adventures in the hotel. Now,
we're set up for all sorts of monkey business here.
Hilarity ensues already. As we were watching this movie, I could tell that this was triggering some deep like memories visually.
Yes.
Like in this movie. Just the shots, the sounds. It was bringing back something. You were emotional. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but it was enough to where I had to take notes on every visually iconic
moment.
Like the iconic and memorable establishing shots, or mostly just the props. Like, it's the knick-knack movie of the century. It's a movie full of like memorable prop items, including the little baby quiches, which that's food. That's food item. All the hats that Dunstan tries on during that montage, the statue's water fountain, just staring into it, and then it just stopped. It like spouted out of the mouth. Fish tank, the suitcase with all the stickers on it, the cane with like the prodding claw. I thought it was like a taser at first, but it's just like a stabbing thing. The cigarette holder. The online poker game.
Yes.
The gold toilet paper seals. The jewel case and all the individual jewels and all the sounds they were making. Ugh. The star brooch that went on the five stars.
That's one where he drags or like he lifts up a bracelet or something like that. Yeah. And just the way it fell. And just the clanging of it, of just like the, I remember that.
The knife for the knife in the back approach.
Oh, yeah.
The newspaper bite. That sound was wild. Or it was a vivid sound. The stick of gum. Mm-hmm. That's the first one that made me start to like.
And you're going to get screen grabs of all of these, right?
Nope. No. You're going to have to watch this movie for yourself.
Mainly, I mean, there was tons of these shots, but like that, the scene, the first time that Dunstan sneaks into one of the guest rooms to like steal the jewels and look through and everything, and just like him getting ready too before he like climbs out the window and scales the skyscraper. He's like putting on his belt and turning his
monkey
fanny
pants
pack
on.
Over and, pulling up his pants. And it's just like every shot was
the
like,
little
oh,
red
man.
Ribbon in the window.
Mm-hmm.
The perfume that he drinks, the gold coins, the cosmetics, and the fake boobs, Consuelo badge, the picture of Samson, the dinosaur nightlight. That's a top five for me. I wish I had that nightlight. The Spider-Man toy.
Yep.
The doorknob being at the center of the door. That's a huge visual for me. Of every door in the hotel. Mm-hmm. It was in the center. And there's a huge, like, grooved. It was weird. The Sphinx bed frame. The way he cuts the thread when he's preparing for the banquet on the tablecloth.
Inspecting everything, make sure everything's good.
The golden ruler pivot.
Is that when you got into geometry?
Yes. His flower that he adds to the cake. And I'm like, why would he do that? That obviously stands out.
Mm.
Take that off. This is a big one. The freaking huge whisk in the kitchen that he sword fights with. Not Dunstan.
Oh, at the end?
Yeah.
George
Costanza.
His dad, yeah.
Yeah. The chandelier and the red ribbon. Those are all the things that I wrote down that I thought were memorable, and that was also like such a visually unique thing to that attributed to this movie.
Mm.
That might not make any sense to you or the listeners, but it made sense to me, and I wanted to point that out. This movie is a visual feast of immersive texturing. If you know what I mean.
Beautiful.
I feel immersed as if I can feel and see everything in real time at this hotel. Maybe it's the sound design, or maybe just the unique, simple look. I mean, I kept questioning where, like, during the whole movie, I kept questioning if I had actually memorized this movie. not the voices or anything, just like the visuals. I know what scene is next. It was weird.
Okay. You touched on at least one of these in your list, but there's a few things that always have stood out to me in my mind about this movie visually. Near the beginning of the movie, Kyle and his brother Brian are back at the house.
Yeah.
Brian's playing online poker.
Yeah.
Kyle has got his snorkel on and he's looking at the fish in the fish tank.
Sure.
And their dad comes in the apartment and he asks Brian, it's like, "Hey, where's your brother?" And he just like points behind him and is like, "Barbados." And then it just cuts to like Kyle's head, like he's like his head is in the fish tank or whatever with the snorkel. Yeah. I've just loved that like cut to that shot. That's been ingrained. That quote, "Barbados," has been stuck in my mind. Anytime Jeremy asked me like where something is or said, "Where you been?" I don't know. Barbados.
Because he's the older brother.
Yeah. So that, okay, the one you alluded to. The scene, I always remember the scene where Kyle's like gets up, has to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, and he's just dragging that huge Spider-Man doll as he like goes to pee in the bathroom. And then Dunstan is like pulling on Spider-Man's hand, like trying to pull it, take it away from him, and he's like, stomp it. Plain milk's fine.
It's a different movie.
Oh yeah, sorry. And this wasn't even in my list, but the like the video camera, and he like pulls apart the tape and everything.
And eats it.
And then the other shot that has always like stuck out to me is like that scene where like Dunstan like cuts the palm of his hand.
Oh yeah, and the little tiny piece of glass.
And like he like opens it up and you see the cut, like the bloody cut on his hand, and then they have to like take the glass out. That's always like stuck out to me.
Yeah. That was a rough watch for me. I love it.
Question. Who are the best brothers to live in hotels? Kyle and Brian or Zach and Cody?
I feel like Kyle and Brian had a more pleasurable time.
You think so?
At the hotel, because they weren't always being watched because they weren't getting into trouble all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much like had everything. I feel like they had everything that Zach and Cody wanted in their hotel, but only because they were well behaved, and Zach and Cody could not be well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Dunstan checks in.
I feel like Dunstan, comparing the two, which why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Zach and Cody had more like colorful characters on like the staff, the people that worked there, versus like this. I don't know. They've got their dad, and they've got like the boss. But like the colorful characters are like the guests, I feel like, in this movie. Which makes sense.
That's so true. Or the exterminator.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one. Looked like a Volkswagen with a tail.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of the characters, the boss in this, like not their dad, but like the boss that owns the hotel, that lady, Faye Dunaway, her character. DuBrow alert! I was always getting her confused with Miss Delacroce. They were like two like middle-aged blonde women.
I think they were in their 60s.
Mid to late-aged blonde women at the hotel. I was getting them mixed
borderline
up.
Borderline postmenopausal.
I was getting them mixed up throughout the whole movie because I didn't know who was who. At least like when I used to watch it as a kid, I didn't know it was two different characters.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I fell for it this time through as well. Maybe don't have the two intimidating up top people be
look the same.
Old white blonde ladies. DuBrow alert.
And that scene where she fires Consuela. Or at least she wants to fire Consuela.
Consuelo.
That's such a move.
That'll do.
People that just like make notes to themselves on a voice recorder.
Man.
On a voice memo on their phone. Do they actually go back and listen to that? Or do they have someone they pay to, like, transcribe their notes for them?
I bet she did. She probably did. Was all over that.
Hmm.
She probably used it to go to grocery shopping, too. You remember that infomercial?
Yes.
Where it was just the voice recorder, and you could repeat it, and the lady was just like, milk, bread, eggs.
That commercial.
And then it would play right after at the grocery store, playing on a broken speaker. Milk, bread, eggs. That was so funny.
Yeah, that was an inside quote for our family. That
milk,
infomercial.
Bread, eggs.
Okay, and didn't we actually get one of those, though?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or we had something that was like a little... It was like a key fob.
I'm sure you could get it at the dollar store.
Yeah.
It was a cheap piece of thing. But that's three payments of $19.95.
That's why... Why would it be a whole infomercial? It does seem like a very disposable, like, Dollar Tree thing.
Here's the deal. A lot of the infomercial stuff is disposable Dollar Tree crap.
I mean, I guess. I just remember... I think Mom did end up getting one, like, and we had it as a joke, and we would just recreate the commercial. Milk, bread, eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
In case we forgot what we went to the store for. Couldn't remember three things. The essentials.
That records without tape.
Butter, milk, eggs.
Then remind you later.
Butter, milk, eggs.
It's
when we would stay at a hotel with our family.
Yeah.
Growing up.
I'm with you.
Okay. On like a road trip or whatever, you know. What was the first question you would ask Mom and Dad about
the
hotel?
Do I have to sleep on the floor?
Okay.
Just because I'm the youngest?
After that question. You got four kids. People are sleeping on the floor. We'll bring our sleeping bags.
Well, Larry and Justin wouldn't let us sleep on the bed with them. Let's scope out the continental breakfast.
That's a good question. That's not the number one question I always had.
Can we go to the pool?
The pool. Does
it have a pool? Yep.
I didn't care. I mean, because we're from Florida, so seasons didn't exist to us. So it didn't matter what time of year we went on a trip. If I knew we were staying at a hotel, I was bringing my swim trunks with me.
Yes.
Just in case there was a pool.
We even went to North Carolina in the middle of the winter, and it was 5 degrees, and we still went swimming because it was an indoor pool.
It was an indoor.
But it was still cold.
But I remember having to walk.
It was outside.
There was an outdoor like path to get from the hotel to the pool, and I remember that being freezing, especially after we swam. But
yeah, the pool was indoor, but it wasn't heated.
Yeah, I just remember it was like a greenhouse in there, or like a sauna or something. Yeah. I don't know. It was like it was warm in there, and all the windows were like all fogged up.
Yeah.
But the pool, I had never done that before. That was cool.
Dude, what's the fanciest hotel you've stayed at?
Fanciest hotel?
Because we've never stayed in a Disney hotel, but we used to walk around them.
No, yeah, for sure.
And sneak around. That's probably the most fun.
Yeah, we were the... Let's find the cheapest hotel that doesn't smell like smoke kind of family.
Yeah.
That would be the other question, would be like, we'd check in, and then I'd have my fingers crossed that the room didn't smell like smoke.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Dad would like go and like change it out for another room or something, which is perfectly understandable.
It is.
I was like, oh, I hope it didn't smell like smoke.
I guess that one hotel we stayed at in Washington, D.C. was cool.
I think that was pretty good.
It's certainly the tallest hotel we've been in.
Trying to get fresh with me?
I forgot about that.
I think that was on the way to the pool.
Yeah.
So we talked about it on National Treasure episode, but we took a family vacation to Washington, D.C. And we stayed at a nice hotel because I guess Mom had like credit card points or something. Yeah. And so a lot of the places we stayed were pretty nice on that trip. That was fun. But it was a pretty tall hotel.
Yeah.
But I remember being on the elevator, and do you remember what triggered that quote?
We were in the elevator with one of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't remember.
It was one of those awkward things where we didn't know if she was going to push the button for us. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of like moved in front of her to touch it after the doors closed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you, was it me or you that she said it to?
I feel like it was a situation where like either I was trying to embarrass you or you were trying to embarrass me by like saying something weird or being awkward. And then she just like turned to us and was just like, "You trying to get fresh with me?"
I don't think she was actually concerned. I think she was joking.
No, she was like joking, okay. But yeah, no, we didn't corner some worker at the hotel in the elevator. That was a cool
pool,
though. What
a weird situation.
That was a cool pool because it was like up.
Yeah.
I don't know how many floors, but it was like halfway up on one of the floors. Like if there was 20 floors, it was on like floor 10.
Yeah.
And there was like a balcony area on like floor 10 that went outside and overlooked.
Yeah.
I remember that being a really cool pool at that
hotel.
Were we
on floor 14?
I don't remember. Do you?
I think that was the number. Doesn't matter. Anyways, I'm looking forward to staying in some nicer hotels in the rest of my life. Speaking of spinoffs, though, mm-hmm. I am going on a cruise this summer.
Okay.
That's it.
I mean, I'm jealous. I'd like to go on a cruise.
We'll go on one. If we like it. It might suck. We never know. Listeners, if you like cruises, let us know.
Yeah. The Inside Quotes Cruise.
So just a cruise with all of our friends.
We'll do a live podcast on the boat. And we'll talk about the movie Titanic.
Coming to a Carnival cruise ship near you. Margaritaville cruise ship near you. There's really not too much we can talk about this movie other than the fact that it is a monkey in a very nice 4-star hotel.
Is it? I think it's a 5-star.
It's not a 5-star yet. They're trying to get their 5th star. That's what that brooch is about.
Well, actually, I think they're trying to get the 6th star.
Oh.
They're a 5-star hotel.
That is something that I didn't understand because if it's a 5-star hotel, do you get more stars than that? 6?
So, I think what the boss lady was saying is that there was like a, whoever awards the stars, they were choosing to award a few select hotels with this like prestigious 6-star.
Yeah.
As like the elite of the elite around the world. Okay. And so they were thinking that a representative from that company was there in the hotel that week.
Yes.
Right. So they thought it was the Lord Rutledge guy. Turns out it was a different character that we love.
Yeah, that they ragged on the whole time.
That he had the worst experience, and he was the guy that was like basically the secret shopper, like testing out everything in the hotel. And why can't I remember his name? I remember his dog's name, Neil.
I just remember it because they treated him like Fat Neil from...
Fat Neil from Community. Lionel Spaulding. That's his name.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely treat him like Fat Neil in that, like, gym montage.
Yeah. And he's always trying to get the attention of someone, but they keep blowing him off.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, sir. Yeah, whatever. So, it's not just the visuals, but it's also the sound design and the music that's also memorable. But there's also some quotes here, like, "Oh, he smelled the monster on the ledge. The smelly ledge monster!" Or the concept of being double grounded. I thought that was a real thing. "You're double grounded. Think of something you really like. You got it? Know that. And then I also noticed a bunch of classic 90s movie tropes, kids movie tropes. Like, I just wrote down, I love a good vent crawl.
Yeah.
The 90s movie, it's very 90s movie of them to have a scene where they're bartering and trading chores for deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, "I'll do your laundry for a whole month." A room service indulging scene.
Yep.
That's a big wish fulfillment.
Sure. There's a lot of food to talk about.
There's an abnormally large cake smash. That's in every 90s movie.
That was a big cake.
And I love it. I love it. This isn't really, it's just a regular, like, villain movie trope, not really a 90s thing. But I love it when the villain is getting arrested and the cops pause to give dialogue to the protagonist at the end. Like, they're not just walking him to the car, but they have to wait because there's a scene.
Yeah.
Have you ever just looked at what the cops do there? They're just like, they just pause.
In this movie specifically? Yeah. Or just like,
well, just in general.
In the trope. Like,
yeah. In the trope, they just, they're just like fighting him a little bit. Like, hey, you just, hey, easy there. We're stopping here so you can talk. You better calm down. Yeah. And then they're like, come on, fella. Whenever they're done talking. Monkey Pants. I remember being so impressed that he knew how to put pants on.
Yeah.
I've seen him do other things, but just the pants part was interesting to me.
There was a line in this that probably got the biggest laugh out of me rewatching it. Was the dad was like trying to get the kid like out of his office before his boss came in. And he was like, oh, she hates kids. She once kicked Big Bird in the nuts.
Why is he talking to his crutch? Is that what you're going to say?
No, like, I mean, that scene, that was good too. I just liked the line, like, she wants to kick Big Bird in the nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Pongo Pygmaeus.
I'd like to stay at a Gaylord Opryland hotel. The Gaylord Opryland hotel. Or, like...
What kind of amenities do they have? Does it have a pool?
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, I don't want to stay at one of those. I want to stay at just some really nice, tall skyscraper one in New York City. I bet there's some nice ones there. What about, like, the Ritz-Carlton? Are there other famous hotels? The Four Seasons? Is that a brand of hotels?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'll never get to that point.
Two things that reminded me of. This movie made me want to drink some orange juice.
Why is that?
The movie at the beginning starts out, it is a montage of them prepping the hotel, but there's also, it's a montage of food, of them like prepping the breakfast for the morning or something like that. And I like a good food montage at the beginning.
Yeah.
What are some good food montages? I was thinking of like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
The food doesn't look that appetizing because it's like cafeteria food. But like the whole intro credits is just like, you know, putting down the plate, letting it sit there, moving it to the next one, putting down another food.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I thought of the orange juice with this movie.
Okay.
The second thing that popped into my mind was I feel like this said in this movie it cost, man, I can't remember the number now, how much it cost to stay there every night. I feel like it said like something like $550 a night or something like that.
Ew.
Which, and then I looked at the inflation to today, and that's equivalent of like $1,200, $1,100 a night or something like that. So that's a nice hotel. Are you sure you want to stay at the Four Seasons now?
I'm okay. Unless it's free.
For one night.
If it's free. I wouldn't even do that for one night. That sounds like a waste. Because if you're there for just one night, you don't get to... You don't get to, like, love the...
You don't get to enjoy your the stay at the hotel, yeah.
You just get to sleep there. What a waste.
Yeah.
Now, John, riddle me this one.
But if you're going to be grounded, a five-star hotel is the place to be.
That's true. What's your favorite part of a continental breakfast?
Well, first off, I want everyone on this podcast here and everyone listening to know that I love being incontinent.
That's the best Key and Peele sketch of all time.
Well, in my top five sketches of all time is the Key and Peele continental breakfast sketch. Link in the description down below.
But garçon, admission for the continental breakfast.
You can just help yourself, sir.
Oh, interesting. European style. When in Rome, forbidden fruit.
But you're asking me what my
when
favorite...
in Rome. Yes.
Okay. Here's my take. I'm not a huge fan of the waffle maker.
Really?
And I feel like that. I feel like you love that.
Yeah.
You always go for it.
I'm always a waffle guy. It's the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I love flipping the waffles.
I just don't enjoy making the waffles, I guess. I'm just lazy. That's it.
I'd rather make them than eat them.
So I'm not here to eat. I'm just here to cook.
Right.
Okay.
You're a powdered eggs guy?
I'm not a powdered eggs guy, but sometimes I have good eggs there.
Sometimes.
I don't know.
You a plain stale bagel guy?
No. I never go for a bagel at the continental breakfast.
Are you a weirdly packaged Yoplait yogurt?
I am every time.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that. I go for eggs and sausage. I try and get like good stuff if they have it there.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't have it there, then you're usually talking about oatmeal.
Or
cereal.
Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, cereal. In those little containers, you know, where you spin the wheel and it drops down in the little styrofoam bowl. And that would always be an opportunity for us to, get some cereal that our families didn't buy growing up.
Yeah, but they never had any good cereals.
So you just end up going with the Frosted Flakes anyway.
You'd get lucky with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I would go for some Fruit Loops.
Oh, they would have Fruit Loops. Usually it's like Rice Krispies, Raisin Bran, and Frosted Flakes. Those are the three.
Cheerios or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Like plain Cheerios or I don't know.
Yeah, just plain Cheerios.
Yeah, I would go for some oatmeal. I would go for yogurt. Fruit? Do you get some fruit? Like an apple or a banana?
I would never get like the banana maybe and an orange sometimes. Sometimes they have good oranges, but the apples are always those waxy red, delicious, tiny apples, and I don't like those.
Yeah. I think I'll go for a banana, but I don't ever go for the apples. I'm with you there.
I go for an orange. Actually, I like their juice dispenser that pumps out warm juice.
The apple juice?
Yeah,
one?
Like it's either the apple juice or the cranberry
cocktail.
Or
it's the orange juice.
Or the orange juice.
From concentrate.
From concentrate, yeah.
Which is unacceptable if you're from Florida. Let's just be real.
Yeah. But I'll take it. But it's really, I have to go. It might be basic, but I'm glad you didn't say it because I am.
Go for the waffle?
The waffle maker king.
I just don't like making them because I don't cook. I guess that's the thing.
I would love to get one of those like industrial, like timed waffle makers. That'd be so cool.
Honestly, you know what it is? I feel like I'm probably just too embarrassed to use the waffle maker because like I don't really know how to use it, and like I don't want to be judged because there's people in line behind me
or
something.
You get that spark of joy whenever you flip it and it just the timer turns on. I love turning a good waffle, man.
Now sometimes they have biscuits and gravy.
Ooh,
that's
great
good
point here.
I like that. I'll
great
go for that
point. I'm still going waffle. Sometimes they have that weird like pancake conveyor belt that you can like hit a button and it puts out a silver dollar pancake on the and you can watch it cook and stuff. That's rare. Still not as good as the waffle maker.
I think the rule of thumb for us growing up, whether we would get the continental breakfast or not, was if it had any protein.
Yes.
No protein, we're going somewhere else.
We're going to Cracker Barrel. Which, I don't know why we'd be upset. I would be upset if we had to go to Cracker Barrel over the Continental Breakfast. But the Continental Breakfast sucks always to Cracker Barrel.
I mean, definitely.
But it's the experience that I get, not the food.
Yeah. I will say, I went on a trip in 2019 to the UK. And I stayed in a hotel in Ireland. And the whole trip, like, we stayed at, like, the group I was with, we stayed in hostels and stuff. But, like, in a couple of the places, we stayed in, like, an actual hotel. And this was actually a pretty nice hotel in Dublin.
Okay.
This one did have like a restaurant at the bottom. You know, sometimes they like, it's not included, but they have like a restaurant at the bottom. This one,
I've dined in one.
Breakfast was included with the room.
Oh.
And I got like a full breakfast and everything. And that was like one of the best hotel breakfasts I've ever had in my life.
Was it in bed?
No.
Ah.
I don't think I've ever eaten a meal in bed.
I don't think
it's usually either. I'm sick and I'm just like munching on saltine crackers between barfing my guts out.
Yeah. Little goldfish crackers at the bed. Yeah, how come I've never had breakfast in bed? Yeah. I'll make that a thing.
I'll make that a thing. It's like you invented it just now.
Here we are. Just hear me out. Breakfast, but in bed. It's crazy. Oh, I know.
Okay, so you like you use the bed as the table and you pull up the chair to it? Yeah.
No, you use that the bed and the bed as your table and your seat.
I'm confused. What if you need some milk? You got a fridge in your room?
Pipes.
And scene.
I had to quote Chamber of Secrets there for a second.
Pipes.
A monkey!
Oh, and I guess... I was going to go back to the hostels and stuff in like the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Their continental breakfast. Let me tell you what that looked like. Okay.
Hit me.
Well, they served coffee in there. Fine, whatever.
Classic.
They would have spread out lunch meats.
Nope.
Just on a tray, like salami.
No, thank you.
And you would just like, you know, get the little tool to pull it off and put it on your plate, you know.
Little tiny tongs.
What is it called? Tongs. The tiny little tool to pick it up. And then, so they just had like laid out an array of just... deli meat and cheese, I guess. And
you make it sound like a charcuterie.
But it wasn't. It was like whole, like you get lunch meat.
It was charcuterie, but ratchet.
Yes. Like you get a container of lunch meat and just like the full oval is sitting there. It's not a cute Lunchable piece there. It's the full thing.
That's not fun at all.
And then they had like pastry type stuff. No protein though. But it's a hostel. It's there. It's lunch, you know, meat. It's meant to be like cheap. You're right. There is protein.
Silly.
Silly
and cheese. There's a lot of protein and cheese.
I should have ate there more often. Instead, I went to Cracker Barrel in the UK.
I'd love to see a British person eat at Cracker Barrel. What are these chicken and dumplings, Cole? What do you mean, fried apples? What do you mean by fried apples? I've never had a fried apple. What do you mean, like a pie? They're baked. Quite full. It's like an apple, but like a gravy. The more I think about it, the funnier it sounds. Yeah, how about a sarsaparilla? All right. Your order, I'm going to go over to play checkers.
This movie did have an abnormally large cake scene at the end. And
a little too big, and it looked a little too fake.
It was big. And we were watching it, and at that point, I like got distracted on my phone a little bit, and like I missed the cake smash scene. And I was like, oh, we got to rewind it. You can't miss a classic cake smash scene.
Yeah.
It's one of the tropes, like you said. Of 90s movies. Movies in general.
Yeah.
But I asked you while we were watching it, and I'll ask you the question again. Was it better than the cake smash in Sandlot?
No.
No. It was bigger, and like a whole person could fall into
it.
It
was
cake.
A bigger cake that people fell into.
But it didn't spray as far.
It didn't. It wasn't flung into the air in slow motion. And the icing didn't look as good. Just the vibes at the cake event, at the event the cake was at, was so much better in the Sandlot. It was just an outdoor cookout of on the 4th of July. And yours was a ritzy banquet.
On the other hand, you feel worse for the people in Sandlot because, like, those were good people just having a good time. Absolutely. And now they've kind of lost their cake. Yeah. And in this one, you don't really care because it's a bunch of high society people. Yeah. And Dunstan checks in. But
although it is more memorable because a dog caused that cake smash and an orangutan caused this cake smash. And, you know, orangutan's more memorable. And they're like, yeah, but you couldn't guess what I saw today. It's less of a story whenever it's a dog doing it. Because those dumb dogs, they're going to do that. Dogs will be dogs. If you've seen one dog, you've seen them all. And you've seen them all smash a cake. But I guarantee you've never seen an orangutan smash a cake. Do you have any orangutan stories? Because I do.
At Busch Gardens?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. I worked in Jungala at Busch Gardens in Tampa, and they had orangutan in that area. They had that in the Bengal Tigers. Okay. They had a whole setup there.
Just get over yourself and stop calling it orangutan.
Like, so yeah, I hung out all the time with Samson and Dunstan. They were the ones there. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
No, that's not true. But that was a really great job because I would be there to like sweep up popcorn in the park and I'd just go on a route and I could go hang out and watch like the animals and stuff while I was doing my job. I heard that there was a time, honestly, I don't remember if that was like right before I started working there or when I was working there.
It was when I was working there.
I think it's happened multiple times where the orangutans have gotten out of the cage, or out of the exhibit, not the cage. But, and they've gotten out, and so they have to like isolate sections of the park. And do you know what the code is? Do you remember what the code is for when there's like a loose animal on the loose in the park?
Code brown?
No, that's when someone takes a number two in the water exhibit area.
I just remember code purple. Being the storm one.
Code zebra. That's if you got an animal on the loose in the park.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a zebra, but it could be. They had them.
Okay.
So did one get loose when you were working there?
Yes. It was July 1st, 2016. It was the first month that I was working there. Luna, yes, the orangutan, climbed a tree and fell and lumbered about for much of her brief flight of freedom. But it was caught on video. But what was so memorable about it was that she went to the popcorn stand and took a bag of popcorn,
mm-hmm,
and then climbed up the tree and started eating popcorn above the guests and just dropping and throwing popcorn on people. And it was really funny. And I was like, man, I'm going to love working here. That's all.
That's good. That's content, man.
My only orangutan story I've have. Orangutan. Sorry.
Orangutan. Oh, I did also learn in that job the proper way to eat a banana.
Don't.
And
I look at me.
I do that.
Try.
I judge people when they open it up the wrong way. I don't say anything.
The wrong way? What's the wrong way?
When they just bite into it like an apple, skin and all.
I don't even eat the banana. I just eat the skin, dog.
Yeah, more of a husk guy.
I bet you can make a good dessert tamale with a banana husk.
A banana husk tamale.
Anyways, what do you think is the wrong way to open up a banana?
Okay, everyone peel, you know, all the bananas. You get a bunch of bananas. That's what they're called, yeah, right? They're all conjoined into one focal point, and you tear them off, right?
Yeah.
Everyone opens up the banana from that end,
mm-hmm,
where you tear it off from the bunch, right? You're in the wild.
Oh, my goodness.
The animals flip them over, and they just pinch the end, and they just peel it down. It's a lot easier. Okay. I do that.
You're so full of it.
And it's easier. I enjoy it. That's all I got to say about it.
No.
Also, I don't really like I do judge people. I'm like, oh, they haven't really found the truth yet, you know. But I don't actually, like, go out of my way. Actually, did you know?
I hate those people. You think you're smarter than a monkey?
No.
I do.
I was working for them. I was sweeping up their popcorn.
Great point, great point. Brian's accent is low-key so annoying. It's like he studied up for that when he got the role. And he's like, oh, it's a New York movie. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do so good. And then no one else had a New York accent.
There was one line where Kyle, like, slipped into, like, kind of a southern accent to where I was like, I was curious where he was from, but it said he was born in California. Oh. But there was one line where he's talking about Lord Rutledge. He's like, I just know he's up to no good. And the way he said good was just like very southern to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, his brother definitely had like that. I don't know if it's New York or like Jersey or something like that, that area. I can't really tell the difference between a Jersey accent and a New York accent. Or a Boston. I can tell the difference between Boston.
Another just generic movie trope.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good three-villain structure.
Three-villain structure. Okay. Elaborate on that.
Well, we've
Who's the third villain in this?
The third villain we've got, well, first one is Lord Rutledge. Second is DeBrow Alert. Third is Pongo Pygmaeus.
Okay.
The three tiers of villain.
Okay.
And they're all there for the same reason, but have different powers.
Okay.
Kind of like Spider-Man 3.
I don't really consider the animal control guy, Pee-wee.
He's a definite villain. I mean, he's a contractor.
He's an antagonist, yeah.
He's an antagonist.
And he's trying to hunt down Dunstan. But that is interesting. I do like that.
Well, there's always that one villain that's not, like, totally on the wrong side.
So. Yeah, I mean, like, there was different storylines going on between the kids and, like, the dad.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, DeBrow was kind of the antagonist more for the dad as the manager, and she's the one keeping him from being able to go on vacation with his family and stuff.
Yeah.
Which affects them. Animal control guy is he's just there to catch Dunstan. So he's kind of his villain.
Yeah, so is Lord Rutledge.
And Lord Rutledge.
But he's also a villain for the whole hotel because he's just stealing from people.
Yeah, it all it all works together. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Three villain structure.
I like that.
I love it. I love that this is a New York movie, yet it doesn't leave the hotel at all.
Yeah.
Until, like, the end credits, where they're in, not Barbados, but
Bali.
Or Bali. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of confused at, like, the layout at times of the hotel as kids.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking that like, jungle area, you know, like, the greenhouse area or whatever, there's all the plants and stuff. I thought that was, like, street level. As a kid, like I thought that was on the ground.
Me too.
Around the corner,
it wasn't though. Right?
But it's like on the roof. It's like an upper,
near the ledge.
It's not quite
a smelly ledge monster.
Not the very top of the roof, but there was like a balcony area.
Yeah,
yeah. I noticed that right when he was walking the dog. But as a kid, my geography of that was different. So I mean, the family lives there at the hotel. And it's basically like an apartment.
Yeah, but they had like a two-story penthouse.
But it was pretty big, yeah.
They had stairs in theirs.
And like later on in the movie, they like check out one of the rooms, but it's like not just any room. Isn't it supposed to be like a presidential suite or something like that, or a special room?
Yeah.
And like it didn't look like a big hotel room at all
compared
to like what they have. So, I mean, I guess that's maybe just like if you're the manager, it comes with the job. Like, oh, you can live here and... kind of thing, because we need you on site all the time in case
it might not
happens.
Be at a flashy. It's not like in a flashy part of the hotel, probably.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it's still like it was pretty big.
I want to say it's by the kitchens, because they're familiar with the kitchen a lot. Do they just get meals from? I guess they. How do they? Do they get their food paid for at the hotel?
Maybe.
Or do they just cook it themselves because they have their own place?
Is there a scene? There's a dinner scene, isn't there? Of them like sitting at their like dinner table or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're just eating like what has been brought to the
hotel
room.
Hotel food. Like, I feel like the dad has no time to cook.
Probably not. I don't. Yeah.
Details. 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 All right. Should we wrap up or?
Yeah, I guess we should wrap up.
We dove deep into this random movie.
That's what we do. And it's a great movie.
It's so good, and I want to watch it again. And we just saw it.
So as we're wrapping up here, I mean, childhood staple, Dunstan checks in. So funny. What would you rate this on Letterboxd? I have not thought about this yet, but it's going to be a good one. Better than a 2.5.
I'm giving it a 4.5 easy.
It's definitely a 4 for me.
It's a 4.5 for me.
I think I'll give it a 4.
It's a 4.5.
This is a good one.
I almost said 5. That's a little crazy, I know.
But, I mean, as...
But Brian's the only annoying part, and I wouldn't think that the older brother would be the annoying part.
I didn't think it was annoying.
I don't know. This movie is a part of me that I had forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I watched this movie so, so much. And
this, it's just always been with us. I don't really remember the first time seeing it. We've just always lived with this movie.
I watched it so much, then I stopped all of a sudden. And here I am enjoying it like a decade later. And I'm having the time of my life watching it. I can't believe I stopped watching this on repeat. I would probably watch this movie every 3 months.
I like this. Yeah. We should start doing that. How often would we rewatch this movie?
I feel like this is a 4 to 5 times a year movie for me.
You're going forward from this
moment?
No,
as a childhood.
Oh, as a kid. Okay, okay. Yeah.
This was a heavy repeater for me.
Yeah.
I love a good animal movie. Maybe it comes from the fact that we weren't allowed to have pets. And I wanted to have that human pet connection.
Mm-hmm.
Human animal connection. Monkeys are gross, though. I don't want a pet monkey at all.
Yeah, they look cool until they, like, open up their mouth. And they're just, like, teeth, their gums are all black and stuff. It's kind of weird.
I went to the zoo one time, and this chimpanzee, saw this chimpanzee exhibit. And it just turned around, and its butt was looking at me. Chimp butts are gross.
You saw his Pongo Pygmaeus?
Nope. And I like to keep it that way.
All right. Well, Jeremy, this was a great pick. I'm glad we talked about this one. We got to rewatch this one. And at the beginning, we said that this was episode 99 of Inside Quotes.
100.
So if my math is correct, 100 is coming up next.
If our math is mathin'.
Should we even put a hint for what we're covering next?
Y'all know what we're going to cover. And
if you don't know, go back and listen to the back catalog. Because we've got a big one. Big movie coming up. Staple of our childhood. Probably one of the most iconic. We're going to talk for 2, 3, maybe 4 days on this movie.
I could see us doing a two-parter.
Ooh, episode 100 and 101?
Episode 100, but it's our longest episode yet. We read the book live.
Oh, there's your hint. It's based on a book. Okay, Harry Potter. Just kidding. Anyway, big episode coming up. Stay tuned, because you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. 100 episodes, Jonathan. Almost there.
Who'd have thought?
Not me. All right, another day, another staple. Well, everyone, our only question left is, what's your favorite inside quote from Dunstan Checks In? Let us know on Instagram at Inside Quotes Cast.
And if you haven't followed us over on Instagram, go ahead and do that. And let us know if there are any movies you want us to cover on the show.
Our show art was done by Bryce Bridgman, and you can find him on Instagram at Groovy Bridge.
And our music was done by Alex Bird.
And we would love it if you left us a 5-star review. And if you do, we promise to read it right here on the show.
But more importantly, we need your help. Because Jeremy and I have been talking, and you know, 5 stars is nice and all. But 6 stars has a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
I think that we could be one of those elite 6-star podcasts, and we need a certain amount of those 5-star reviews to get there. All right.
Yep.
So,
if you're listening, just write a 5-star review. It could just say, cool show, guys. Love it. Or, you're my favorite podcast ever.
5-star review, and you'll get free room service for a year. Ooh. I'll do your laundry for a month.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about our childhood staples just as much as we have. And if you did, make sure you hit follow on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you don't miss out on a future episode.
And if you like the show, share it with a friend.
Until next week, we'll see you next time on Inside Quotes.
Okay, Jeremy, so before next week, I'm going to give you a week off from the podcast.
Really?
A week's paid vacation, okay?
Okay.
On one condition.
You got it.
Okay. You have to leave this podcast recording crying. You got to run out of this room.
Okay.
Past Mrs. Dubrow crying. Make sure she sees you. That's it.
Okay. A little more, a little more.
I still love you!